Ray Allen has caused a little controversy because he was not around for the Paul Pierce ceremony, and then he Instagrammed himself with George Lopez
on the golf course while the ceremony saying, was going on.
You're with one of these kings of comedy who's showed the George Lopez show, reinvented the format of the sitcom. So people were upset about that, and Rich, yesterday he decided to weigh in on Paul Pierce.
He finally addressed it, and this is also a guy who, when LeBron James hit whatever that number mark was of points scored, remember when LeBron James like congratulated himself on Instagram? He wrote some big paragraph or double paragraph about how amazing LeBron James is, so it did seem strange that on the day that Paul Pierce and the rest of the big three was there, or not the big three, you had Rondo there, you had Doc Rivers, you had KG, who, by the way, I couldn't figure out for years, or not years, about the last, 2 years, since he's doing Area 21, how he keeps the side of his hoodie on the side of his head without it falling down.
Yeah, it's like the guy from Oz that had kept the winter cap that on the side. You always said, how do you do that?
And he did an interview with GQ where they asked him, and I guess it's because when you shave your head, the grain goes in a certain way that hooks onto the fabric, so you can literally just rest it there, and the fibers just kind of hook into your hair follicles, and there it is, just sitting there, like almost like it's taped to the side of your skull.
That's disappointing.
It is very strange.
That's not something that we can do.
No, we definitely cannot do that. So, finally, Ray Allen addressed this 2 days after the ceremony itself, and he posted a picture of him and Paul Pierce together and said, "What we did in 2008 was special. Not only by Boston standards, but by professional sports standards. The truth is, without any one of us on that team, we would have never been able to do the unthinkable. Me! Going from last place in 1 year to winning a championship is unfathomable, but we did it." And then he put in capital letters, "We did it," once again. Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rajon Rondo, Tony Allen, P.J. Brown, Sam Cassell, Glenn Davis, Eddie House, Kendrick Perkins, Scott Pollard, James Posey, Leon Poe, Gabe Pruitt, okay, Brian Scalabrine.
Well, Scott Pollard.
Gabe Pruitt. Me too. I'm like, whoa. That's a name. You know what? If you would have told me to list all the people in the 2008 team, I would have forgotten Gabe Pruitt. Brian Scalabrine, Doc Danny, everyone else in the Celtics organizations, our wives, children, families, the fans of the city of Boston, and yes, me. Over the last few years, I've been berated, lambasted, and had my name smeared. Well, you know, I mean, there was that catfishing thing, which was kind of interesting. I don't know why you were
into a dude
that.
And he tried to fleece you for some cash.
You did also leave the Celtics for half the money to go play with the rival and go chase a ring. But either way, you may not want to hear this, but I will always be a Celtic. Fact. He put that in parentheses for some reason, so I just go, fact. I will always cherish the bonds that I shared with all my teammates and the people in the city of Boston, and in parentheses, truth. We all gave everything we had. We all won, and we all raised the 2008 NBA championship banner together. Anybody getting a weird taste in your mouth from this so far?
What are you doing?
Seems to want to justify his.
Remember me?
We've completely forgotten about you.
No, what he's saying is that, like, if you're bad mouthing me, you don't realize that I was an integral part of this team.
Listen,
me and Scott Pollard.
You as Gabe Pruitt.
Scott Pollard, by the way, very good in college.
Paul Pierce is the first guy that welcomed Kevin and me with open arms into this atmosphere from day one.
No, he's associating himself with Kevin Garnett to win you over and saying, listen.
He's just doing everything wrong.
Oh, he's stupid.
Paul and I have spoken about our time together as teammates, going to battle night after night, knowing we could count on one another, and we have also talked about my decision to leave during free agency, a choice I made for my family. All right. Despite what you may have heard or read.
They go to the school systems in Miami.
Well, Florida schools are known for being the best in the country. Right. Screw these Massachusetts learning institutions.
Right. I mean, his family needed to go to Miami for all the academia.
Yes,
I don't know if that's a word.
Maybe it is.
Academia is good. No, you're good.
Obviously, we did not go to the schools here. There is nothing but love. Paul and I are more interested in building bridges than putting up walls.
That's right. Him and Paul.
Mm-hmm. To Paul, number 34, congratulations on having your number raised up to the rafters. I salute you for your commitment to the city of Boston and to us, the 2008 NBA champions. That drives me crazy.
That is a guy who has spent way too much time inside his own head.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, he's very petty, and he's turned into that. And I would love. He's coming into town, and apparently he is He might be coming into studio.
He's not.
Although now, after we've talked about
it. He is canceling that. There's no way he can.
We're not going to be a-holes to him. I just want to ask him all of these questions.
It really has nothing to do with us, Rich. It has everything to do with possible questions that he might get.
I want to ask him all of them. Like, why are you saying this? Why did you do this? What the hell happened with the catfish?
I know. That's the thing. He's not going to answer any of that stuff.
Well, he's doing a tour.
Right. Of course, that's all anyone who interviews him is going to want to ask him about.
Someone will find out about why he took less money to go to Miami.
But they're quick to say it's a moderated discussion, and his excuse for not doing radio would be, why am I going to answer all your questions when people are paying to come and ask me? I'm fascinated by who would pay to see Ray Allen sit on a stage and talk.
Well, if he answered legitimate questions, that's an interview I would like to hear. Yeah, like, if somebody subjective.
That's an interview. I'm not going to pay money.
Controlled environment is what it is.
I'm not going to pay money to sit there. And I know we have a relationship with Wilbur, but I will tell you this, is that that this is a ridiculous thing.
No,
I bet you he canceled.
You guys, he'll either cancel or we'll get a phone call saying.
Oh, he's not doing our show.
No, what I'm saying is he theoretically.
Cancel the Wilbur thing.
Yeah, he'll cancel the Wilbur
thing. I think he goes on there.
I think
because he'll get softball questions from whoever the moderator is.
I'm fascinated.
He won't have to ask and answer anything tough.
He doesn't need the money. I mean, we sold out the Wilbur. I mean, what's the point of him doing the Wilbur?
But you don't think his head is so big that he doesn't think that he thinks he's still going to be revered as like a god when he shows up?
No, he obviously doesn't think that because of what you just read. He feels he's being unjustly persecuted by the people in Boston.
That sucks. I love that guy. He just did everything just to pee on his legacy here. But either way, we got a very interesting call where we're talking about Ray Allen. Because Ray Allen, you know, obviously could be kind of strange. And the caller called in and said that he worked at a grocery store near where Ray Allen lived. And I don't know if it's true or not.
He worked at Whole Foods, and that he said that Ray Allen would go into Whole Foods in Wellesley and say, he talked to the manager and said, I don't want anyone to talk to me, and I don't want anyone to look at me. And that was the edict that he put on.
Like he didn't want any of the employees having a conversation with him or looking at him.
Like, I want organic soap, but I don't want, which is just lard, but I don't want anyone to look at me, which is interesting because sometimes Whole Foods can be hard to navigate. I want to, what will go through my system and push out all the poo.
I think there's an aisle that's actually labeled that.
Yes,
things that will go through your system and push out the poo.
Yeah.
It's aisle 8.
There's those dispensers that are like, hey, look, I want to take a big crap.
That's the name of the product.
Yeah. That's sure. That's the name of it.
Okay.
Hey, you want a crap?
Yeah. So has anybody ever had an experience with a celebrity anywhere near as strange as that? Where, like, I mean, the Ray Allen thing is weird. Because the more he's gone from here, the more you're starting to realize his little strange idiosyncrasies and the way that he acted. And it's always interesting when people in the media, like, keep their mouth shut about behavior of athletes until they're gone. And I know that there's a relationship they have to have if they want to get stories, they got to do whatever. But I mean, sometimes the stuff is so funny and it's so strange that how do you hold that in? How do you keep that story to yourself?
So it doesn't have to be a sports figure.
You know, anybody. Have you ever had an encounter with any celebrity that was just odd, that was so strange? Big Baby Glenn Davis one time I ran into at the Apple store. And he was walking around with 3D glasses with no lenses in it and tape in the middle.
Saying, please, for the love of God, look at me.
To me, right. Like, I was like, just please, I want somebody to take a picture of me and go, look at how eccentric this guy is.
Yeah,
he's like a 13-year-old trying to figure out who he is.
He's a man-child.
Right.
Is what they wanted to have happen. So, yes, I've had a million. I had the guy from Nickelback look for me in a golf cart to beat me up.
Because he heard you saying mean things about him?
No, because he realized after the interview that I was being a dick. And that,
like, he wasn't smart enough to figure it out during the interview?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say yes.
Okay.
Right. Like, it occurred to him when they were taking him away that I was being a huge dick. Well. And then he had to kind of turn around and go, he goes, find me that guy. And I found out he was looking for me. So I got out of there. Said, I'm not getting fired because the dude from Nickelback wants to fight. And then the guys in Green Day at that very show took out lighters and tried to light the couch on fire. and said, well, you're on a major label right now. I don't need that. All right. We'll take your phone calls. All right. 617-779-0985. We will take your phone calls.
98.5, the sports hub gets you up.
Hello, Mr. Danny.
Good morning.
And I'm not telling you anything you didn't know.
Gets you home.
They don't have a dominating personality.
Not the The team thinks he's going to
be. Toucher and Rich.
Felger and Mad.
98.5,
the sports hub.
Do you like talking now?
Toucher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the sports hub.
98.5, the sports hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We had a caller couple days ago saying that they worked at Whole Foods Wellesley and that Ray Allen came in and talked to the manager and said no one talked to me.
Yeah, I don't want any employees looking at me or having a conversation with me. And that was a meeting that the manager actually had to have with his employees.
Which is odd.
Or
because
chose to have, I guess.
Everything's impossible to find at Whole Foods, so it would be, I think, to your advantage to have people wanting to help. That's what I find fascinating about it. Like, wouldn't you want people to go out of their way to help you? Like, if there was a way that you could just go in there and they would essentially shop for you.
How about you are causing more of, like, it's more of a hassle to go and sit down with a manager and have that discussion than just being nice to the people saying hello to you. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but also, like, I would want to be singled out and to be helped. Like, I'd want the whole, ideally, the entire staff comes up to me and says, what can I do for you? And I would say, you can get me this, this, and this, and then they run around and get it for me, and then I go home. Why would you want, like, less people helping you?
I'm just going to say, that limits your encounters with the so-called normal people. You just stand in a corner and have everyone go fetch you things.
No, because the
that'd
one,
be perfect
yeah,
for you.
The one thing that is that, if, like, I don't want, like, jabronis coming up to me at the grocery store, just, like, you know, people that are shopping.
Well, he's probably complaining that, like, employees want to take pictures with him and stuff.
All right, okay.
So well, fine, take a picture. It's over.
Well, if you take a picture, I mean, there's only so many employees I would
small
like.
Small price to pay. You have one or two guys go get you things. And look, you do this, I'll
be like
take
a restaurant
pictures of, with you. And
like I don't want the manager or the owner of the restaurant to come by. Of course you do. Because then everything's comped. They see you, right, even if the restaurant's full. I mean, these are things that you need. DJ, go ahead.
Yeah, I was with one of my buddies, and we saw him, Ray Allen, at the gas station on 128 outside of Lexington. My buddy has a Ray Allen UConn jersey on. And we're like, oh, hey, Ray, you know, weren't asking for pictures, handshakes, nothing. Wouldn't even look at us or acknowledge us.
Because it would be very difficult for him to sit there for 2 seconds to get his picture taken. That's, that's such a imposition.
Hey, listen, there's a time you don't go and approach a celebrity.
Which is when they're eating.
When you're eating. That's
which I've done. I've approached a celebrity when they were eating.
I've had this discussion with my wife. I was like, there's a short list of people that I would have to break that.
Bono.
Bono's
one.
I was at Nobu in Manhattan when I was, like, young. And I was with Stephanie, like, when we first started dating, and I could not afford to be at Nobu. And Gwyneth Paltrow was at the next table, and my wife was, like, obsessed with Gwyneth Paltrow. So I was just, and I was hammered. And I was like, Gwyneth Paltrow, stand up and take a picture of my wife. And then, like, her publicist was like, excuse me, she's eating. And I'm like, shut up. And I'm like, and right now there's a framed picture of my wife with Gwyneth Paltrow sitting right there.
And a PR person trying to punch you guys.
Yeah, right. Well, he was very intimidating. Gwyneth Paltrow's PR guy was very intimidating. Not every encounter can be wonderful, and this is what we have here. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, so it didn't happen to me. I saw it happen on Christmas Eve this past year. I was in line at Dunkin' Donuts, and the guy in front of me orders, local celebrity, actually an icon out of the Smithfield, Rhode Island area, orders a coffee. The cashier wants the $2.79. He says, do you know who I am? He says, I'm the voice of Bryant Basketball. The guy looks at him like a jabroni, not knowing obviously who he is because they play on local access TV. And the guy got Waldick right in front of me. Unbelievable. He threw it out.
Waldick, well, yeah.
You Waldick the coffee person?
Sure.
He said, I'm the voice of Brian Basketball.
That's right. I always lead with that. It gets me tons of free stuff.
Yeah, usually the voice of Brian Basketball gets these types of things for free.
Right. Yes.
And he women's goes, underwear.
You don't know the CB channel that I'm on?
You don't stand close enough to the gym to hear me?
I really have to be loud.
You just put it on four. Your CB on four.
Yeah. I scream a lot.
You got Walden.
Yeah.
Like a smoky is going to, hi, and it's good.
Count it.
Got it. Yeah,
count it.
Count it.
Chris, go ahead.
Steak and eggs, boys.
What's up, man?
Hey, so I have two of them. I have a Dave Collins story, and I have a Paul Stanley story.
Really? What did I do?
Which one would you like?
Paul Stanley.
I want to hear Paul Stanley.
I knew it was going to be Paul Stanley. So this one has a bit of a background with your old station, BCN. My buddy Dave Strupp used to produce the Big Mattress. So he used to get us backstage to a lot of shows. And Paul Stanley did a one-off at the Channel in Boston with Bruce Kulick, his old guitar player. So after the show, we're standing there, and one of his handlers comes out and says, all right, gentlemen, Paul is ready to receive your party, which sounded odd, receiving the party at that point. So we go backstage, and we're thinking, this is Paul Stanley of Kiss. There's going to be nothing but half-naked girls around. Nothing but dudes back there. And he had nothing on but a bathrobe, and he pulled a Sharon Stone before Basic Instinct came out, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
As he crossed his legs and showed you his balls.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're sitting there
shocking.
Talking to him, and we're kind of looking around going, hey, you know, I've got to go to work in the morning. I think it's time to go. Really nice meeting you, Paul. And then a couple of weeks later, I don't know if you remember the dude used to do the heavy metal show on BCN was cracking up. He goes, didn't you know about Paul's sexual proclivities?
All right,
we don't know anything about that. All I know is that that story sounds kind of...
Hey!
What I would expect.
Bruce Kulick! I know that everyone wants to go to the show with me and Bruce Kulick. He replaced the guy who replaced the guy who replaced the guy.
We had to make up a whole new animal for his makeup, the badger. Look at him. He's the space weasel.
You know, Don Henley left his bathrobe.
We're running out
it
of
still
vermin.
Smells like him. Mike Reno for Lover Boy.
Mike Reno.
Has his bathrobe on. It still got crabs on it.
All right. I want to hear line four. I want to hear line four. Because this is a guy that I kind of expected from.
All right, Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So my buddy was an intern for the Celtics, and it was one of his jobs one day to get signatures in the locker room. And there was one especially sick kid that really liked Kevin Garnett. And Kevin Garnett doesn't sign just about anything. He's one of the hardest people to get to sign anything. So my friend went up to Kevin, told him the entire story of the kid, how he'd love a signature. And so he signed it. And it was the first time the whole season that Kevin signed a single thing. So my buddy puts the jersey down, goes to another player, tries to get something else done. And so he gets back, and the jersey's gone. So he's looking around. He's like, I told this kid I'd get his jersey signed. Like, and he's looking around. And it's in Rajon Rondo's locker. So he goes over to Rondo, and he's like, hey, Rondo, like, he wrote, get well soon, Kevin Garnett. Like, can I get that jersey back? He goes, it's my little cousin's birthday in 3 weeks, and she had the flu last week. I'm giving her this jersey. So Rajon Rondo would not give this jersey back, and somewhere, Rajon Rondo's little cousin has a Kevin Garnett jersey saying, get well soon.
What?
Hey! Did he wear it beforehand?
I don't know if I believe that story.
Did he tuck it into his shorts?
I don't know. Maybe
it's even more valuable.
I don't think I believe that one.
Mouth sweat! That's what I'm going after. Let's not beat around the bush. I will receive you now. Whoopsie daisy. You saw my balls!
That's his new single.
Yeah! And I got to show my balls. Hey, everybody, I'll receive you now. Scully, he's my guitar player. You got to pay money to see me. Hey, Bruce Scully, get it. It's an intimate affair.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it.
We're playing Great Scott. Such a huge affair. You, I will receive you now, and you will receive a look at my balls. Woo! I like to see and show. They keep on shouting, you keep on shouting. Hey, Paul Stanley, Bruce Cummings, you're the best. Keep on dancing now, the moon gets hot. I'll drive you wild here on my balls. You know I'm wearing a bathrobe that had margarita wore yesterday. Hey, everybody, here I'm balls. You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting. Colic! Hey, everybody, you paid money to see me and Colic. Now, look at my balls. Hey, you saw me. Come look at my balls. You show us everything you got. Now I'm gonna show you my balls. Hey, look at me. I'm in a bathrobe. Come over here. Here's Cullick's balls. You say you wanna get backstage pass. I'm not gonna show you my ass. I'm gonna show you my balls. You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting. Balls! Look at them! Hey! I'm wearing a bathrobe. Look at my balls! Bruce Cullick is in the corner. Hey! Everybody, look at my balls!
All right. That's the end of that. That's not healthy. That's the best story I've heard in a long time.
I'm unfurling them. Make the room extra warm so they elongate. You really like my balls. Come on backstage, see them. Bruce Cullick is in the corner. Come on now and look at the show. I shaved them just for you. Here's what I'm gonna do. Put on a bathrobe and have you look at my balls. You like the crack. Yeah. You like the crack of my balls.
I don't even know what that means. Oh, boy. All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We were talking very early in the show about the Olympics yesterday, and I don't know if anyone else saw this. John did, but there was a bad boy of speed skating, and I believe he was from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's nothing more badass than the guy that, you know, is a speed skater. And they showed him, and he, you know, he's got like the six pack and everything. And there was a bunch of black and white pictures. He has long hair, and it's him and it's this chick, and they're hanging out. And I will hand it to NBC. They made me hate him very quickly. And then when he was skating, the guy he was skating with wiped out, and then this guy failed miserably, which was oddly satisfying.
Is his name for Wage?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. But
because
they,
people are saying that they were calling him a somewhat controversial figure.
Yes, they were saying that.
Speed skating?
Yes.
Call him the 110-pound Thor.
Cone for Wage. Yes. Yeah, he's 110 pounds.
No, he's
I have no idea.
His diameter through his body is like 4 inches.
But they I think they knew what they were doing. They like made me hate him. They probably did a 2-minute thing before he skated, yeah, and it made me hate him.
Well, the best thing about it is that you know it had to be on purpose because this is all pre-recorded. I mean, all these things happen earlier in the day because of the time zone difference. So they built him up only to watch him fail afterwards.
It was great.
They did it on purpose.
Yes, it was very satisfying. First of all, you're the bad boy of... what did you do? Like, no one... I would imagine the Netherlands isn't... You know, going crazy about speed skating, you know, day in and day out. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, he's quite the hunk.
Yeah, I mean, he's in good shape. God bless him.
Okay.
As opposed to every other Olympic athlete. But he's quite the bad boy. I mean, he rips up the scene. I'm sure he's a multimillionaire with his speed skating winnings. But then Shaun White did well, and I found myself not liking that. I found myself rooting for Shaun White to fail.
See, I still don't know why
that. I mean, it's an odd thing. I wanted him to fail. I wanted him to fall. I didn't want him to get hurt. I will say that. I am not. I will make that clear. But I wanted him to thoroughly embarrass himself.
See, I mean, to me, once again, it kind of drove me crazy back in the day. But it's like, it's been, 12 years since we first knew about this guy? Or maybe even more than that. What was he, 20, I think, when he first started coming onto the scene, or maybe even like 18?
They called him like the giant tomato.
The flying tomato, yeah. But now it's like he's just really freaking good. I mean, you watch him and it's perfect what he does.
I don't care for that. And then he flies all year to places where there's snow all over the place. It's annoying.
That's what he does. It's his job.
It's annoying to me. I want him to fail, but he didn't. And that was bad to me.
Well, I wanted him
desperately to fail, and he didn't. But the bad boy skating, as rewarding as that was to see him fail, Shaun White was equally frustrating.
Well, I do know that yesterday was a day that media and social media outrage took precedent because Shaun White was given an American flag as he was walking around. Now, he just finished
his third run. Yeah, I saw this, and I knew he was going to get crap for that.
And, you know, he's holding his snowboard, and on top of that, they hand him a flag. And at one point, the flag starts hitting the ground, and
he
accidentally steps on it.
No, he was dragging it.
Yeah, because he's holding it, right. And once again, his head's not probably right. But boy, the people, the hatred that came down for him after that.
Well,
and it's like, I mean, doesn't everyone kind of need to take a breath? And there was one guy, I know you don't like it, but there's another person who was at a medal ceremony, and he was holding, I guess they give you a trophy too, and he was holding his trophy, and people were saying, is he flipping a middle finger to the rest of the people who won medals? And you're like, and the guy's like, no, I'm just holding a trophy, and it looks like I'm flipping a finger. Like, the outrage. It's like the minute somebody does something good, everyone wants to just drag them down to the ground.
And Shaun White, I'm glad that happened. John, go ahead.
Yeah, so the speed skater you were talking about, first of all, they showed the worst pictures of him in the world. He looked like a total turd. He referred to himself as like a Viking. But also they said on the NBC broadcast that he was some kind of pop star where he's from.
But in the Netherlands.
I need to hear his song.
There's a lot of money to be made.
Can you find Cohen Verwege's song? I need to find me pronouncing that right. I have to hear it. You know what? Actually, I think we might actually have Cohen Verwege's song right here.
There you go.
It was debuted during the Bruins game last night. Jack Edwards. If you didn't, if you weren't watching the Bruins game, many people had their TV freeze for a while in the middle of the second period, and all you heard was Jack Edwards saying Jenny, 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 Jenny over and over again.
That was part of his ribald bicycle song that he sang.
Shammy in My Shorts was the name of that song.
By the way, the U.S. up 1-0, and there's about 11 people in the crowd.
Yeah, no one's there.
The lack of NHL talent, I imagine.
But Donato is someone to keep your eye on because he is a Bruins prospect that they're saying might be playing for the Bruins right after Harvard's done.
Okay, here is
Harvard's done.
Ryan Johnson from our station tweeted this last night. He said, Pierre just said that he... this is from this morning. He goes, Pierre just said he's expecting Zanotto to turn pro after the tournament instead of going back to finish the season at Harvard. Yeah. I've heard that from a few places. The Bruins could have another dynamic rookie for the playoffs, possibly.
Yeah.
He's a junior. I mean, I thought he'd be gone after Harvard was done anyway. Either way, I thought he was going to be a Bruin by the end of the season. You speed this up, that kind of changes things at the trade deadline, no?
Yep. And if you speed it up, it also makes it more sense to have him play in the NHL because you're getting more time. It's not a McAvoy situation where you had to kind of roll the dice and get rid of that year of control. If Donato comes up, you know, when the Olympics are over, you get him for what? The last month and a half of the season and for the playoffs.
Yep.
So we'll see how he is. I know very little about him except that he has been dominant in Harvard.
Yeah, he's second in the country in scoring at the moment.
Isn't first the guy who just won the Beanpot?
Yes, the guy who just won the MVP of the Beanpot just passed him with that hat trick.
Gaudette, isn't that his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That was an exciting time, the Beanpot. Something that I've...
Adam 12 is still basking in the glow of his Northeastern winning the entire thing. Right. But not going for the first time in, like, how many years? Like, 20 years?
Yeah. I mean, you're such a big fan. Why don't you get tickets to the final? If you live for that.
He was the curse. He was the curse all these years.
Yeah. Him and his dad throwing the ball around. All right. We'll be right back with Pearl Jam tickets. Talk of Bruins who won last night. There's talk of what moves to be made. I've long been of the opinion that I wouldn't mess with the current roster at all. Sweeney's, drafting and developing young talent is working, obviously. Things are way ahead of schedule, I would assume.
The chemistry is off the charts.
Yeah, I wouldn't screw with the current roster, but there is an opportunity with the Rangers tanking, and they're going to have to rebuild to get Ryan McDonagh, who is someone that I would, that's an elite defenseman. He would be your second best defenseman. He would be on the second pairing, and it's what you want to give up. So Stanley Cup of Chowder, who we've had the guy who writes that or the guys that write for that on the show before, they give five trade scenarios, and two involve Brandon Carlo, who I do not give up under any circumstance because it runs entirely against what you've been doing and what's been succeeding. And I also don't give up Heinen. I don't give up any of my young talent. But you have a surplus of talent in the AHL, and you have a surplus of pick. I would give up picks for days, and I would give up a ton of AHL talent, but I would not give up Heinen, and I would not give up Carlo. Because if you get McDonagh, now you're the favorite for the Stanley Cup. Now you are the team that Vegas picks to win the Stanley Cup.
Where are they now after the streak?
Where is who now?
Where are the Bruins as far as what Vegas is picking to win the Stanley Cup? I mean, I got to think that right now they're taking a look at what they've been doing and how they are borderline unstoppable over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And I got to think that opinions have changed. I mean, don't you think that at some point, just because of the level of talent that that the Golden Knights have, that Vegas is it's going to fall apart?
Yes, I would assume. I haven't looked, but I would assume that Vegas is not over the moon on the Golden Knights, unless people are just, you know, going heavy on them at the casinos because they're in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the case.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would give up Krug for McDonagh, obviously. I'd give up Krug in picks. I'd give up Jake DeBrusque. That's something that they've talked about, but
it doesn't seem like any of those things that you're saying is good enough for a trade, though.
No. Well, the Stanley Cup of Chowder says one of them, I don't think that this would work, is Torrey Krug, a second-rounder and mid-level prospect. But Krug is not much younger than McDonagh, they point out. And do you want Krug if you're a rebuilding team? And my guess is no. Is that, you know, you're kind of right. You know, Krug is well-paid, too. So I don't think that's what you want. But, I mean, the Bruins at one point, if they want to or not, are going to have to get rid of young talent. I mean, they're going to have to get rid of AHL talent. There's just too much. But that same problem is why I don't give up the young talent that's on the major team right now.
But where's the weakness right now? Where's the weakness on this team?
They need a left wing, and they need a and they could use a defenseman. They don't. If you believe McQuaid's a liability, they could use a defenseman. But I wouldn't screw. I'm comfortable with the way they are now. But a player like McDonough doesn't come around every day. I believe he's under control. I know he's under control after this.
One more year.
Yeah, after this year. So you'll get
a little under $5 million.
Yeah, and he's very reasonable. And you would keep him. He's young too. He's under 30.
And I guess there's no talk right now. I mean, there hasn't been anything. It's been quiet on the front between the Rangers and the Bruins.
Yeah, but you know the Rangers are going to unload, and they probably don't care about what's going on with the Bruins right now because they're a couple years away. I mean, they're going to decimate their roster.
What about if that Donato thing is true, that he is going to go pro?
He's a center. I think he's a left-hand shot.
Okay,
so. Solves a left-wing problem?
Yeah, you can pair him with Krejci. And then you could do that. Listen, they have so much young talent that they have to start, you know, getting value for it. Because there's redundancy.
Let me ask you this, Fred. Did the 2011 team ever look this good to you?
No.
No, they didn't.
No, because Chiarelli built the team in a different way. He traded for talent. They didn't have the resources they had now. They have now. This has all happened very fast. Sweeney has been great. He's acquired talent and he's developed it.
You got guys in the minors. Like, remember Zboril, former first round pick?
Yep.
He's sitting there. You're talking about Tommy Cross. Austin Zarnik's had a big year at the AHL. Can't get a sniff here.
No, he's not going to play here, and he's a valuable asset. He's considered.
That BU kid for his back at Carlson is down there.
Yeah, he didn't do well when he was up, but he's still a talent. They have a ton of talent in the AHL. They have a bunch of first-round picks in the AHL.
That kid's Senishin or Senshin. I never Senshin. Get it right.
Well,
Senshin.
It shouldn't be Senshin. It's like Sade.
Yeah, so Senshin's there. He's not having a good year, but he's down there.
But Senshin is considered a good prospect. I mean, all these guys are first-round, second-round picks that are supposed to be, you know, quality prospects. So, I mean, you're going to have to at one point give those guys up. Because there's just no room on the roster for him. And hopefully that is something that doesn't hurt you in the trade market, that they know you have to give up these prospects. But if people want picks, give them away. You're good.
Yeah.
You're loaded. You don't need it.
All those trades, I think the Bruins, I was looking at this the other day, are down a fifth, and that's it. They have all of their picks except for a fifth rounder this coming year.
I think they have 2 second rounders this year, too, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, you can dump picks. Dump them. You don't need them. I mean, you've put yourself in a very short period of time in the catbird seat. You know, your core is signed. You have young players that have plenty of time left. And then you have abundant talent in the AHL. I mean, if you want to, you don't have to make a move. I mean, you could make a depth move, which they will. I mean, they will make a move at the trade deadline.
You're in a situation like this. You can't just completely leave it alone.
No.
I mean, you're 1 point out of the best record in hockey. This is a chance for you to really push and go get it.
Yeah, if you get McDonough, I mean, you are the favorite. And you're the favorite next year, too. If you get McDonough, you're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year, the favorite to win the Stanley Cup next year. I mean, he holds down the second pairing. But I'm not giving up Carlo and I'm not giving up Hine. I'm not doing it. Because it runs counter to everything that has built this team to this point. So, it should be exciting. The trade deadline should be something to keep your eye out for once.
2 weeks away.
And it's not like, do we keep Erickson or not? This is, you know, you're in a position of strength, which is going to be interesting. And odd. Not a lot of trade deadlines where the Bruins were in a position of strength.
Right.
True.
In terms of they can afford to give up stuff this year. But I don't blow up the plan. I do not blow up the plan. It would be stupid to do so. All right. Nick was out at the Bruins game last night. He talked to some people. We'll have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub.